This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
He hasn't done dirt.
That's what I did for 2 weeks while I was on vacation, Sean. I didn't do dirt bleep. So I have a question for you, Sean, my guy, since it's the last one we have. Interview-wise of the season, since the Chiefs season has officially been over, Trevor Lawrence was gifted a grill at the end of their game on Week 18. I was wondering, after this year that we put together, I think I did a pretty good job. Would you ever gift me a grill?
Oh, I gift you a grill? Yeah, buddy. Let's get Trey going. Let's get Trey going. One of them Kansas City places up there to get you a grill for free, man.
Whenever, I'm with you. Whenever you're ready, dude, I will do the entire show with it, and I will look like, what is that guy? Paul Wall. You call me George Foreman because I'll be selling everybody grills at that point with the live stream.
Hey, we might make some money off of that, buddy.
You see what I'm saying?
I like the idea.
I mean, there could be a podcast called Cognac and Grills, just you and I.
Yeah, you're right about that, because that's all we're doing right now is grilling.
That's right. Let's grill these NFL playoffs, since we don't need to talk about the Chiefs. We know that's gone. Who do you believe in and who do you not believe in this year's playoffs? I thought the same.
I think Seattle's coming out. I think Seattle's coming out of the NFC. Out of the AFC, man.
Apparently, we're going to have to call Sean back because we're losing connection.
It's the building's fault, right?
I don't know, dude.
Do we have a generator pop on?
I don't know.
Yeah.
We've had phone issues for like the last 2 weeks.
Remind me to tell you something in break.
I mean, the best part was the grill question. All right, Sean, sorry we lost you, buddy. Again, the question was, who do you believe in, who do you not believe in the playoffs this year?
I got Seattle. I believe in Seattle because of their defense. And then I told you I got the Patriots. I believe in my faith is in Mike Vrabel right now, man. The Patriots are hot. And I'm looking back to like the old Patriots.
Yeah, they really are. I mean, it's amazing how Vrabel came in, just like Andy did, coming here to Kansas City and flipped that script in 1 year. You played in this league for a long time, Sean. What makes a good football coach in the NFL?
Good football coach is when the players can trust the coach. He's going to go run through a brick wall. Like, you know, I say this to this day, I'm always forever thankful for Bill Parcells and guys like Romeo Cornell for giving me a shot, because once a coach knows you, they're going to, anytime they get a job somewhere, they're going to bring you in because you know their system and know how it's supposed to work. And what Brave was doing in New England, he knew the system. He won championships there, and he's bringing them back. He's bringing them back there.
Do you believe this is Josh Allen's year, and if he doesn't get it done, it's a total failure?
Oh, he's a failure regardless, man. I'm not a Buffalo Phil. The Bills Mafia can hate me all they want, but he can't never get over the big game. Like I always say, Josh Allen is the Charles Barkley of the NBA. Can't Ooh. Never win the big game.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good player.
Yeah.
But can't win the big game.
Why?
Why? It's him. It's not the players around him, because it's him. You got to show up. It's no different than last night in the college football game. You see Beck showed up. Mm-hmm. He won the game at the end with his legs. And that's something Josh Allen has to do. But he gets to the AFC Championship and choke. You know what I mean? My only other team out of the AFC that might can make it to the Super Bowl is Jacksonville.
Okay. So you like Trevor Lawrence. Or do you like that defense?
I like the defense, but Trevor Lawrence has improved. Lane Coleman has came there his first year and put his stamp on the program.
Yeah.
Literally.
Duval.
Yeah, Duval with the beach.
Uh-huh. You better believe it,
Henny
man.
Henny in a hand. Hey, you got the Henny in a hand and something in the other hand. Hey, man, that's a great home playoff game.
Yeah, it's a hell of a home playoff game.
Yes, and I might go sativa.
You said.
In the car.
I'm out.
Hey, I know you'll be watching.
Oh, you mentioned defense. Do you like the Texans?
I like the Texans defense. I'm still not sold on Stroud. I'm just not. But I know when things get going, he goes to 12 Collins, and that's who's been bailing him out a lot. But that defense is – I like what DeMarco Ryan has done, but I don't think they can, you know – I don't see them making it to the Super Bowl. Just don't.
So I want to talk to you tonight about Indiana and Oregon. Would you find yourself as a college kid loving to play for Kurt Cignetti or playing for Dan Lanning?
I'm playing for Indiana coach.
Yeah.
I'm playing for him. I like what he's done. And just he's straight business. He's just straight business. The look he has that eye of the tiger look like, yo, I don't care what. Block the outside noise. We're going to win. You know what I mean? So
yeah, could you see him being successful in the NFL?
Can I see him being successful
in the NFL?
Yeah, yes, yes.
And why so?
Why? Because of his demeanor, he'd be a player's coach.
Because most of these guys from college have no, you know, success in the NFL.
Most of them don't. That's just like everybody saying Deion should go to Cleveland. No, Deion shouldn't go to Cleveland because Deion told y'all a long time ago he couldn't coach in the NFL because these guys are not serious. They're worried about their money too much.
No, I think Deion should go to Cleveland. It'd be great entertainment for all of us, Sean.
I mean, it'd be great entertainment, but when you look at the grand scheme of things, I feel like the NFL is not going to be the greatest thing no more in the next couple of years because of college and the NIL and all these kids are making the money. Like, the sorriest kid on the team is making $380K. That's more money than both parents.
Yeah, I mean, so you think college is going to surpass the NFL in popularity?
Yeah, because you think about it. That's why, when in the world have you ever needed a GM in college football? What is a GM in college football?
Yeah. Let's go sign up, Sean.
But, I mean, even no, still.
I people laugh at me, and I'm sitting there saying, like, a GM in college football is really compliant. That's it. NCAA compliance because you got to know the rules. They got to know who's making what and decide on everything. You're telling yourself. So who's making the rules? College football is going to take over the NFL.
I mean, because of the no rules or because of the money and kids are going to stay longer?
Kids are going to stay longer? Come on. Hey, you're telling me a kid is making $5 million and he hasn't even done it? Prime example. USC paid the kid, and now he's going to West Virginia. One catch, and he only had $560K for one catch in 1 year. Are you serious? And then he's getting paid again to go to West Virginia? Come on.
No, that's a valid point. Hey, let me ask you this. If you were John Harbaugh, what job would you take?
Great question. John Harbaugh, I'm going to Tennessee. Cam Ward.
You trust Cam Ward?
Yeah, I think John Harbaugh should go there or either go be with his brother and they ride off in the sunset.
Ooh, okay.
Wow, Tennessee's a wild card. What job opening do you think is the best? Obviously, if you're saying Harbaugh to Tennessee, you may think the Titans is the best opening.
I think the Titans is the best opening, but I still have faith in my guy Mike Bungazi, which I think will make him hire Nagy. He will hire Nagy over eventually if a Nagy interview for the job.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he was first out of the gate, I think.
Yeah, and I think because they have a, you know, rapport from Kansas City, try to do that. He's going to try to do what Poole did in Chicago. Bring guys that you grinded with and try to make something happen. Only get one shot.
No doubt. Yeah, it's like
the way everything's going.
Yeah, you get one shot. Mom, spaghetti, knees, arms are tired, get ready. Kurt Cignetti.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, man, everything. But, hey, back to these Chiefs, though.
Oh,
on another note. Back to these Chiefs, though.
Okay.
I'm not upset. I'm not disappointed in the season. You know why? Because you can't stay at the top all the time. Everybody's saying rebuild. Everybody saying Andy is done. I think this year was a year that Andy has to sit back and reflect and say he had got outcoached this year. And a lot of games this year he got outcoached. It wasn't an Andy of the old Andy. I think he's going to take some time, go on vacation, come back with his Hawaiian shirt, and we're going to hire a great OC. You know, everybody's bitching about, Eric Bieniemy coming back, but I think he should come back. I mean, he may not have to come back as an OC, could be the co-OC, but I think his presence in the running back room is needed. Since our run game has been trash.
What if I say the name Mike McDaniel?
No, he's too worried about his Air Force Ones. That's why he ruined tour, and that's why he got out of Miami.
Okay.
So you're out on him. What about
Stefanski?
Yeah, Stefanski for OC, right? He could get a head coaching job, though.
I think he's going to get a head coaching job, but I can see him as an OC with the Chiefs.
Okay.
I can see him with an OC as the Chiefs.
You
know what I mean?
Yeah. What would be your New Year's resolution for 2026, Sean? Other than getting me a grill in a glass of cone.
Just to continue to be a better man. That's just what I'm a better father, a better man. Just being honest. That's my resolution. And keep impacting the youth. That's all I'm trying to do.
I love that. Hey, you want to run it back next year and do this all over again?
Yeah, man. We're going to run it back next year, man. I think it's going to be bigger and better, man. Then probably I could be in studio some, too. So, you know.
Absolutely.
Hey, you move here to Kansas City, you can come in every Friday.
Hey, man. You never know. You never know.
All right, man. Keep being that better man. Keep being that better father. And keep being that better person in the youth. We love to hear it. Keep doing those things, man. We'll talk to you soon.
I appreciate you guys having me this season.
Absolutely. You got it, my man. We'll talk soon.
That is Sean Smith. That's the way we go out with Sean right there.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way you go out. Coming up next, we'll get to the
Tennessee thing. I mean, Mac?
Your producer's been on it. Our producer's been
Mac,
on it.
Mac, let's touch on that when we get back.
Do it. Plus the playoffs and predictions. Coming up next here on 96.5 The Fan, you're on for Kansas City Sports.
John Harbaugh, I'm going to Tennessee. Cam Ward.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty, brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. Your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.
It's good to know everybody's on the same page, Dusty, right?
For sure. Yeah.
Across the board.
Yeah. Matt, did you see Joe Keery surpass Taylor Swift on Spotify Music? Surpassed 2 billion streams, actually.
Yeah, it's crazy. We were talking about that at the house yesterday.
Out Steve Harrington.
Shout out Joe.
Great man. Anybody would upset Taylor Swift.
Do you understand why his name is pronounced Joe, but it's D-J-O?
I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, because that's how you say that.
Yeah, I would just say Joe. I wouldn't say DeJoe.
Yeah. Like a dojo, you know? Have you ever seen, you know, like in karate or whatever, the Karate Kid, they fought at the dojo?
In Napoleon Dynamite when they go
to the dojo.
You think I'm embarrassed because I go home to Starla at night?
Are you a Napoleon Dynamite fan, Mac?
I love that movie.
You do?
Yeah,
okay, good. Do you ever put tater tots in your pocket?
Of course.
What's the weirdest thing you've ever put in your pocket?
How much time do you have?
Yeah, a lot. We got about 25 minutes. What's the weirdest thing you've ever put in your pocket?
A walk-it.
Sour cream.
Sour cream in your pocket? What is your Emily, your name?
Exactly.
BBL stinky.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to think.
Joe Keery has quite the dating resume now. Is he just out here dating baddies?
I mean, not surprised, obviously.
My daughter, my wife was saying something about that. Like,
who is it? Because now we're getting a ton of texts. Like, do you know who Joe is pulling these days? No, I don't.
No.
Like, I'm interested because, like, I just found out last week that Steve Harrington is a banger of an artist.
So good. He really is good.
He really is.
Women love him.
Well,
I think we continued watching Stranger Things basically because Steve Harrington was in the show. I think Hannah was just locked in for him.
Yeah, because he's like the United States version of Harry Styles.
He sparked
Timothy Chalamet.
He sparked relationship rumors with Sabrina Carpenter.
No. Good for him.
Yeah, Mekhi Moore or Mike Micah Monroe. That's it. I don't know who that is.
Mm.
But
so he's talking. He's well,
GQ
I know that,
model.
You Micah know who Monroe Ficus is?
Never heard of him.
Yeah, look him up.
Okay.
Pop music's for kids, not adults. Grow up.
That's it. Oh wow, that's an actual.
Is
oh,
he considered okay. pop music? Because I think it's alternative.
Get bent.
I don't care what it is. Yeah, music is music. Not for any. Music's for people.
Music's for whatever you like.
Wait,
man.
So adults can't listen to music or pop music? That's crazy.
That's
dude.
Weird. I've never heard that rule before. Is that written down? Is that in the Constitution?
Yeah, it's from the 816. Pop music is for kids, not adults. Grow up.
The hell?
What does it matter? You know what you listen to, what you like. If you like it, then you like it. You know, we go back to the, would you put ketchup on a hot dog? No, I would never do that. I'm an adult. But if you want to do it and you like it, go for it.
Who was I supposed to look up?
Monroe Ficus.
Okay, thank you.
Do you know who that is, Dusty?
No, there's only a couple of Monroes I know, but I don't think they're appropriate for air. Joe Carey has a young Derek Jeter resume.
Oh, wow.
I mean,
damn. Wow. Derek Jeter may have the best resume of all time.
I mean, he had Mariah Carey.
Yeah. Boom. We don't need to go any further.
That's what All I Want for Christmas Is You is about.
Mm-hmm.
About Derek Jeter.
Right. And the gift baskets that he used to pass out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Monroe Ficus is a fictional character from the 1980s sitcom Too Close for Comfort.
Too Close for Comfort. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Played by Jim J. Bullock.
There we go. Look at you.
Speaking of Too Close for Comfort, Mac and Sean Smith, Too Close for Comfort on the same opinion as Tennessee might be the best job because of Cam Ward.
How about that? That was an out of left field one for me. Like, really out of left field that he thinks
it was,
the Tennessee.
It was that, or was it the NCAA will be bigger than the NFL?
That, yeah, honestly.
I could see that conversation happening and having that conversation because I know how I am. 3 years ago, I was not a college football fan, right? Now, I like it. I'm watching the games. I'm in. And I was telling Dusty the other day, it was like, Deion brought me back, right? Deion's not keeping me there, obviously. What brings you somewhere usually isn't what keeps you at that place, right? Deion brought me back to college football, but the wildness of college football has kind of kept me there. You know, you just don't know what you're going to expect. Everybody's got a chance. You're not rolling in with the same teams every year. Like, it's been open wide, and I like that. And so, will it pass the NFL? I don't think so, but I understand what Sean is saying because I'm a college football fan again because of this new era of college football.
Do they have ratings out yet from last night's game?
No,
that'll take
not.
Some time.
Yeah.
We'll
get because it's cable too,
and
so
they'll probably
we'll
do them both together, like come Sunday or whatever.
Yeah, look at what college football games, yeah. did generated. You know,
mm-hmm. You think college football's mad? The NFL's on Saturday.
but I'll tell you, you look at those college ratings. They're NFL games now. You know, like they're getting 19, 15 million people a game to watch these.
So, but to find out what Sean's really saying is true, like. Do it, college. Put your playoff game on Saturday. Let's see who watches. Let's see who's watching NFL. Let's see who's watching college.
I'll ask you this. Since I know they're playing Monday, and you guys can answer this question. Let's say Saturday at 6:30, because you know the game tonight's at 6:30.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Let's say Saturday at 6:30. It's Indiana, Oregon, Houston, Pittsburgh. Where's your attention? The fact you have to think about it tells you the answer. The NFL.
The NFL.
Win.
It's the NFL. Yeah. At this point in time, yeah, it is.
If you'd have gone straight to like, oh, give me Indiana.
No, you're right. You're right. Yeah,
crap.
Yeah, you're right. No, obviously, because I'm a bigger NFL fan, right? And that's. But I guarantee you, if you said that to somebody in Alabama, they would pick that. Well, maybe because the SEC is overrated and useless, they wouldn't. But you know. Somebody in a football, football mecca would like in Texas. They may say, "Well, Houston's it," but you know what I'm saying.
Tennessee was that way for sure. The Vols own that state. They don't care about the Titans,
right?
Yeah, the Vols own that state. Alabama the same way.
Same
no,
with
I get
Nebraska.
You.
They don't care about their professional team there. It's all about the Huskers.
No, 100%. No, that's fair.
You know these college like I know Green Bay is Wisconsin, but Wisconsin's huge in Green Bay. Are there any other areas other than Tennessee, where the college team is bigger and owns the city more than the pro team? Arizona State, maybe?
Yeah. Yeah, because what even is the best, biggest pro team in Arizona?
Well, it would be the Cardinals.
In Arizona, that would be the most fans. That's what brings in the most
it's
people.
The NFL. Yeah, it's the biggest NFL. Stadium. Yeah, I mean, the Suns are the main team there. Like, they're the first team that ever went to Phoenix, and so they're considered, like, the team of Phoenix, but... Now, the NFL is going to bring in more, but maybe it's Arizona. Arizona State's more popular than the Arizona Cardinals.
You know, I saw.
UCLA, USC more popular than the Rams or Chargers.
You know who the number one team is in college basketball this year?
Michigan State.
Arizona.
Damn. Yeah. Arizona basketball. Yeah. Arizona sports are huge.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. No, it's a good
now, they're Tucson, so it's about an hour south of Phoenix, but even still. I mean, you're still bringing in the money from Phoenix going down there. It's a 90-minute drive or whatever it is. It's not that big a deal.
Somebody mentions Arkansas.
But they don't have a protein.
No protein.
No.
Yeah, it's thing like Alabama.
What about the
obviously.
University of Georgia versus the Atlanta Falcons, which is the bigger product there?
Be a close battle.
Somebody said Missouri after the Chumps move.
Well, I mean, damn, Missouri doesn't have a pro NFL team anymore, right? It's a Florida. Let's look at the state of Florida.
Yeah,
This is a good one. This might be the text. Saints and LSU.
Yep, there you go.
Yep,
that's another one. We've worked through a lot more than I thought we would work through.
That's true.
I mean, how many college teams in Florida are more popular than the Dolphins, the Buccaneers, and the Jaguars? You got Miami. You got Florida State. You got Florida. I would say they're probably more popular than the three NFL teams.
Somebody says North Carolina and Duke over the Carolina Panthers.
That may be changing, but...
Nah, I'm not ready to say that yet.
That was more true probably 15 years ago, 10 years ago. I don't know if that's true now.
Who won the NBA title last year?
Oklahoma City.
Yeah, the
You
Thunder.
Think more people love the Sooners than they do love the Thunder?
Yes.
You love the Thunder.
Yeah, for sure. That's a really good one.
But that's football, basketball.
Correct. But I'm saying, sports-wise, college-wise, which the college is the narrative.
So, I mean, let's take this one. Jayhawks or Chiefs?
Chiefs.
It won't work here. No. Wildcats or Chiefs.
Well, if you want to talk relevancy, I mean, you have 10 years of going to the Super Bowl five times,
What about the Texas Longhorns or the Houston Texans?
Oh, Longhorns.
Right?
I almost wanted
A&M
to ask,
over the Longhorns.
I almost Texas wanted to ask Texans, the dumb question and say, not that it would be Longhorns over Cowboys, but what do you think that percentage is?
Let me ask you this, and let me take it another step, though. What if you combine the Longhorns and Aggies and Texas Tech into one? Are they bigger than the Cowboys in Texas?
I think if that is the case, if you need all of that.
Yeah, but you'd need all that.
You need all that, yeah. So, it's okay, so Dallas is one. There's no pro college teams in New York, Philadelphia, that area really ever cared about the college stuff.
No.
Rutgers.
Right. But you go down south, man, and
it changes
big time.
I remember moving and I was like, whoa, people aren't dressed in baby blue. They're dressed in orange. They're dressed in for the Commodores.
Yeah. It's because that team had been there since 1857 and Tennessee just moved there in, 1998 or whatever. So, but that's what it is. I mean, it's the longevity. Like, if a new team moved here, you'd be like, I'll root for them because they say Kansas City. But how long would it take you for that really to be your team? Like, if you're 35 years old and the Titans moved to Nashville, you're like, that's cool. But I've always been a whatever fan, and I know they're here. I'll root for them. But it probably takes time for a fan base to grow and germinate and become a true fan base. Takes a whole generation, I would imagine.
And then there's guys like Inspector where I go out in the bullpen, say, hey, man, what's your take for tonight? Don't care. Wake me up when real football's on tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Did he say that today?
Said that?
Yeah, I'm not surprised he said
that. Exactly.
Wake me up when real football's on.
I mean, come on.
What happens first?
What about Ohio? Ohio State or the Browns or the Bengals? It's Ohio State.
It's Ohio State.
And it's not even close.
And honestly, the Cavs would have more reach than the Browns.
Yeah, maybe so.
100% they do.
Yeah. What about Pittsburgh or Pennsylvania? Is it the Steelers, Eagles, or is it Penn State?
Stop.
Yeah, I think.
Terrible towel say it all.
Yeah. I think Steelers.
Okay. But Penn State, again, gets 100-some thousand fans for every game.
Yeah, because, I mean, their stadium's bigger.
Right, but, I mean, no NFL stadium's even close to seating 100,000, let alone 80,000
anymore.
We
don't have college kids that go to NFL
games. It's not more about that,
That's 20,000 seats.
Maybe at Penn State, but...
At a Penn State.
Yeah.
If you take those 20,000, now that's 80,000. Pittsburgh's probably, what, 70?
65, okay. I think. So, yeah. I don't know. You start to think about it, and Sean Smith isn't wrong, guys.
Can I ask a really good one?
Yes.
Can I ask a really good one?
Yes.
Okay. Detroit Lions or the Michigan Wolverines?
I would say Michigan.
Yeah, I think I would too. Everyone in Michigan's a Michigan fan.
So this is interesting. What it's coming back to, though, and I think this is, and I want you to get to that text here in 1 second, what I think what it's coming back to is the reason the NFL will always be a top is because Texans and Pittsburgh are playing, and we're all going to be watching. If that was the University of Houston versus the University of Pittsburgh, those two fan bases are watching. That's where it's different, right? Yeah, the Lions are bigger than – or the Wolverines are bigger than the Lions in Michigan. But if Michigan was playing Indiana, I'd watch.
Yes.
But if it's the Colts playing the Lions in the prime time, you're dialed in. That's where the difference is.
That's the big difference.
Locally, a lot of these colleges are bigger than the NFL team. Globally, they're not, though.
No, that makes sense. It's a huge difference. You brought up Indiana. Indiana University or the Colts? That's...
Yeah.
Probably Indiana University. Especially
today. Today? Yeah. Where, two years ago, no.
No, that's funny you said it. Where was it 2 months ago?
Colts.
Yeah. I mean, two months ago, the Colts were 7-1.
Yeah, I mean, that's a playoff team. They're talking Super Bowl, all that kind of stuff. Indiana's a nice little story.
It's insane how that flipped.
We'll get back to the NCAA, Indiana and Oregon game tonight, but I do want to give you some playoff stuff here because the NFL playoffs start tomorrow into Monday. This is day two of five. Yeah, wake me up when real football gets here. Go get a coffee that's not sugar and whipped cream, ass. First game, Rams-Panthers. Large spread.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a bigger spread than you'll ever see at the trap. There's a big spread last time I was there.
You're
going to
be a big spread today, I think, too.
I hope. Yeah. It's Alex's birthday on
Monday.
It is.
We're celebrating Alex's birthday, and we're also celebrating Maloney's bald.
Oh, good. Yeah, we haven't
recognized that yesterday.
Yeah.
Rams, 10.5-point favorites over Carolina in Carolina. Just a heads up. Going to be a little rainy. Going to be a little foggy.
Okay.
Going to be a little bit of some weather. We know Matthew Stafford does not perform well in bad weather games.
Yeah, he didn't recently.
I don't like the spread, but I do like Matthew Stafford to throw for two touchdowns.
Love it.
And I like the Rams over the Panthers, obvious. But I do like in that game, if you're betting a prop bet, I like that Stafford throws two touchdowns. They are insane inside the five with him throwing the football. And you could say those are skewed stats, and those don't – they still have to – like I was watching Eric Mangini and Parkins talk about it yesterday, and Mangini was like, you could say that's equivalent to the tush push, but the guy's still got to throw the ball and hit that area where he's got to go up there and high point.
I don't think it's equivalent to the tush push at all. I think it's 20,000 million times more complicated to throw a pass in the back of the end zone and time it perfectly than to fall forward for a yard.
1 yard, 5 yards, doesn't matter. You got to have the guy beat, got to get the spot, got to catch it, got to get 2 feet in, rather than just...
Yeah, I mean, that's a bad comparison to Unger.
So I have the Rams over the Panthers. You guys disagree?
No, I got the Rams over the Panthers. Yeah, I think Stafford's going to have a huge day. The comment that he made at the beginning of the week has stuck with me all week. We lost the game because I threw it to the other team. That's a guy with killer instincts right now. Like, okay. I know I screwed that up.
Moving along, the primetime game on Saturday night that we're all excited about is Green Bay at Chicago, the snow game. 30-mile-an-hour wind gusts, going to be a steady 15 to 20-mile-an-hour wind. Snow in the forecast as well. Going to be cold, the Windy City, Chicago, Green Bay. Green Bay goes into Chicago as a 1.5-point favorite against Caleb Williams in this.
Ooh.
I will tell you the bet that I like in this game is the under. I suggest you get after it immediately.
Okay.
That will go down. It's already down a full point from yesterday when we talked to Vegas Kelly. It's now 44.5. I love the under in this game for the Chicago Bears and the Green Bay Packers. Chicago runs the ball very, very well. Jordan Love, I don't know if he's going to be able to hit Christian Watson down the field in these type of conditions with
Watson,
wind and snow and cold. And they're going to use Josh Jacobs. And I think it'll be Swift versus Jacobs and which quarterback's not going to make the mistake. And I think the under plays in this due to weather.
Yeah,
and
I
also like the Bears over the Packers in this game.
Love it.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I think the Bears are probably going to win this game. Micah Parsons being out is—are we talking about that enough?
No.
Like, I'm not just talking about the three of us. Like,
well,
I'm talking about
do
nationally.
Anything. I just don't think it does anything to talk about it, right? Like,
huge loss,
right?
You know?
It's like
and Tucker Kraft.
Yeah,
Tucker Kraft. Quarterback.
Jordan Love is quarterback.
Are we sure?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
That's what they say.
Yeah.
Hasn't played in 3 weeks.
Because the analogy of Micah Parsons being there, and I know this sounds morbid, but it's like going to your Thanksgiving dinner and being like, man, if Dad was here. It's like, well, he's not.
Yeah, no,
and
I understand
you're not
that.
And you're not doing yourself any favors by bringing it up.
But that's why I'm looking at this. I'm going, that's why I think Green Bay loses, though, because they've had so much of this stuff just mount and mount and mount and mount. You've got a quarterback that hasn't played in a month that's going to go try to play in these conditions. Josh Jacobs better be, like, the guy in this game. And if Josh Jacobs runs the ball like 8 times or something like that, they lose, and we're doing a Todd Monken kind of conversation, then Matt the Flower may be on thin ice.
Peter the Floor, we're like Peter the Loser. Next game, so far I have the Rams over the Panthers with Stafford with 2 touchdowns. I have the Bears over the Packers and the under in that game. I have Buffalo over Jacksonville. I thought about taking Jacksonville. I'm taking experience. I'm taking the better quarterback. I'm taking the more experienced coach.
Yep.
I'm not going to sound contradictory when I always do this and we think, who the Chiefs have? Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. Who do they have? Kevin Stefanski and Baker Mayfield. This game shouldn't be close. It was. Shouldn't be. But again, I'm taking Josh Allen, taking them over Trevor Lawrence, and the game that I, and the bet that I'm taking, Josh Allen first touchdown score.
And
set
that,
the tone.
And that's why I'm taking Buffalo as well, not because I think they're the better team, but they are the experienced team. And the coach combination, coach quarterback combination is something I've lived by for the last, 15 years or whatever it's been. You've got to have a good head coach, you've got to have a good quarterback. Not saying anything bad about Jacksonville,
but it's unknown.
But it's unknown in this type of game, obviously. And obviously, Josh Allen and Sean McDermott, they just have the experience. They're not a bad postseason team. They're bad against the Chiefs.
Yes.
They beat everybody else.
Yes.
But we'll see what happens this year. They've been kind of a quote-unquote shell of themselves as a team this year. We'll see how it goes with their injuries, no defense, no weapons, all that kind of stuff. Can Josh Allen carry the Bills like Patrick Mahomes carried the Chiefs through a couple of playoffs? Because that's what he's going to have to do.
In this next matchup, the line has moved a full point. Niners at Eagles. It was +4.5 49ers. It is now +5.5.
Wow.
San Francisco, everybody must be jumping on Philadelphia.
I agree.
Is why the move is moving. And I do have Philadelphia over San Francisco, but I have San Francisco covering the 5.5.
Okay.
Look, we just did it with Josh Allen and Sean McDermott. I'm going to do it, though, with Philadelphia and their defensive line. For some reason, when the playoffs start, those grown-ass monsters just become alive. And we were blind last year in bias saying, what, we have an offensive line, they'll be all right. It's like, hang on. And from the jump, that game was over. And Philadelphia, they're in the playoffs. And like we said earlier today, doesn't matter what happened in November, doesn't matter what happened in December. You're in January, you're in the playoffs, you're the returning champs. You have that defensive line. I think Philadelphia wins, but I think San Francisco covers the 5.5.
See, I'm taking the quarterback coach combination. I'm going with San Francisco to win that game. And I just want Philadelphia to lose, too, because I think it's better for the show.
I'm rooting against Philadelphia so hard.
Because Monday morning will be Sirianni potentially getting fired. Who could replace? Like, the drama that comes from an Eagles loss is good for us.
100%.
Two games left of the wild card weekend. I have New England over the Chargers, and I have Drake May throwing for 225 or more.
Okay.
Gotcha.
I've got New England over the Chargers as well.
You think it's close?
I don't know. I don't like the Chargers. I don't like Herbert. I love Drake May, and I love Mike Vrabel, though. You know?
Hell yeah.
Let me give you a hypothetical. New England blows the Chargers out.
Mm-hmm. Fire Harbaugh and hire Harbaugh. That's what I would do. Could you imagine that?
Wow.
Locked, cocked, and ready to rock.
Let's go. Jim, you're gone. John, you're in.
And Jim, you're now in Baltimore.
Oh, yes. Give me all of this. This is what we need. Yes. Yes. Drama. Storylines. Yeah. Sagas.
Maloney's bald. Last game of the day or of the weekend, which will not be of the weekend. It will be on Monday Night Football, which is... It's like having leftover Thanksgiving food. You're like, it's good, but I don't really want it. I have Houston over Pittsburgh, and I am taking the spread with Houston -3. I think Houston wins by 20. I think this game is not close. I don't think this game is going to be anything of entertainment. I think we'll have an early bedtime on Monday night. Then again, I've been wrong before, unless maybe not this time. I have Houston over Pittsburgh, and I have Houston covering the -3.
I got Pittsburgh winning this game, and they haven't lost a home Monday night game since 1993. Not that that matters. That's just interesting. That they haven't lost a home Monday night game since then. I think Mike Tomlin's feeling himself a little bit right now, after that big win and all that kind of stuff. I think Aaron Rodgers he was talking about the Jets again yesterday, so he's trying to get rid of that pass. I think they got a lot to play for motivationally with Aaron Rodgers and Mike Tomlin. So I'm going to go with Pittsburgh at home to beat Houston. As much as I love the Texans and what did Sean call him? DeMarco Ryans, right?
Mm-hmm. DeMarco Ryans.
DeMarco Ryans and CJ Stroud. I just think I'm going to go with the veteran guys on this
Donnie
one.
DeMarco.
The Steelers' largest deficit during their 6-game playoff losing streak.
Mm-hmm.
27, 21, 28, 28, 21, 21. Only team in playoff history to trail by 21 or more in 6 straight. Nobody else has done it in even 4 straight. If that happens again, Tomlin needs to be fired on Tuesday.
But he won't be.
No, he won't be, because Pittsburgh's just going to stay mediocre.
Win 10 games a year, get in the playoffs, sell out the stadium, man. It's...
No, it's fine. I'm just talking about for football purposes. They are in QB purgatory. They're in
purgatory. They should hire Mike McDaniel as their offensive coordinator.
Love it.
So to recap, Rams over Panthers, Stafford at least 2 touchdowns, Bears over Packers. The under in that game right now, it sits at 44.5. Buffalo over Jacksonville. I like Josh Allen to be the first touchdown scorer. Philly over San Fran. I think San Fran covers the 5.5. New England over the Chargers. I think Drake May will go over 225 or more passing. And Houston over Pittsburgh. And I believe Houston covers the -3. Who hates fans more, Nick Sirianni or DK Metcalf? We'll find out. Coming up next, we'll get back into what the game is tonight. Cignetti versus Lanning, Oregon versus Indiana, and everything else that is this weekend here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
This is Fesco and Dusty, brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. Your home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Three receivers bunt to the left. Beck is looking that way. And still looking. Takes off running. Carson Beck with his legs puts Miami on top. What a drive.
That was last night's game-winning touchdown. Carson Beck, who, by the way, Max, since we started this show off with Carson Beck's age, Malachi Toney was 11 years old when Carson Beck was a freshman
no,
in college.
No, he was what? Not. Oh, my God, he was.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're right. Oh, my God.
Yeah, dude.
Because he's 18, and he's been, oh, my God.
Wow. Malachi Toney was 11 years old when Carson Beck was a freshman in college.
Let me ask you this. Do you think Malachi Toney knows Andy Reid coached the Eagles?
No.
Probably not.
No.
You think Carson Beck knows that he coached the Eagles?
Probably not.
He was born in 2007. That means he was like 8 or 9. But yeah, no, I don't think so. By the time he was 9, Andy Reid was here.
Yeah.
Andy Reid had been here for like 4 years by the time he was 9.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no. That's crazy.
Carson Beck, to me, like, I'm watching last night.
Timmy!
I'm just like, yeah, yeah, I'm like, that guy, like, he knows about rebar. Right.
He knows how to fumble the bag with a cabinet toy. Yeah, that's for sure.
He knows how to do that.
Him with the Cavender twins, it's like a 1 to a 10. I mean, like, how do you mess that up, Carson? Like,
well, you become the starting quarterback for Miami.
Get an 8th year, and you know,
Tyreek went to South Beach and had 12 more children.
That's right.
Let's get into Richard of the Week here on a Friday.
That's funny though. I just look at him. That guy knows about rebar.
Oh, Richard, I'm so happy. Hold me.
Richard of the Week.
Not that guy, pal. Trust me. You're not that guy.
All right. This is concerning to me. My Richard of the Week goes out to all these restaurants. A BBC, Easy Mac, investigation revealed over 50% of ice samples at McDonald's, Burger King, KFC contained alarming levels of fecal bacteria, which can carry a number of diseases.
What?
Dude.
Oh.
There's poo in the ice. So, Richard of the Week, whoever's putting poo in the ice, we're drinking out of that cup.
Can I tell you how that happens?
Yeah, I know how it happens. You scratch your ass and you scoop the ice.
There is that.
Or you let one go and the air fragments get into the ice.
Yes, it does. And I know that. And I think I've told this story, right? It was the day of the NFL draft in Chicago. And I was going to Chicago to watch the draft, cover the draft.
Did you go there with John, Serta, and Ron?
Just me, John, and Serta.
That's right.
Yeah. And my buddy picked us up. He was stoned off his ass. He's getting my boss's car. Like 2016, right? Thanks, Ken. Appreciate the love.
Wolf?
No. So we're getting ready to park the car back in the day. We're waiting for the bus, and we're standing. The guy's standing there, and we start talking. What do you do? I'm a doctor. Great. Where are you going? I'm going to Nashville. It was Nashville, and I said, why? I'm going to give a talk. I said, oh, what are you giving your talk about? He goes, fecal matter in the air, and I'm like, okay. Of course, I've got to continue this conversation, as you would have. What do you mean fecal matter in the air? He goes, well, it's a big problem. He says, if there's all fecal matter in the air, it lands and everything. It's constantly out there. I go, well, how do you protect this? He goes, well, first of all, anytime you flush the toilet, make sure you close the seat, because when you flush, it goes down. All that fecal matter goes back up, and it gets in the air, goes in your mouth. It's all over your body. So that's how this stuff is happening. The problem is all these public toilets, they don't have the cover. that you can cover, you know, the toilet down. So when you flush, all that is coming up into your body.
But we all know the ice isn't near the restrooms, the fast food restrooms.
Well, you don't know that. But maybe you have that fecal matter on you. You thought you washed your hands. It's on your body. You touch your shirt. You get...
Hi, welcome to McDonald's. Yeah, I take a large Coke. All right, one large Coke. Please pull forward. Ice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, dude.
And that too, but fecal matter is everywhere.
A BBC investigation revealed, which I have a lot of different... Anyways,
BBC,
over 50% of ice samples at McDonald's, Burger King, and KFC contain alarming levels. I don't know what alarming is other than 1%.
I was just saying, anything over zero.
Yeah. Of fecal bacteria, which can carry a number of diseases. That is my ritual of the week, is fast food and ice machines. You all right back there?
Ice machines in general are filthy, though.
Yeah, bullhead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Here's your ice. You don't want any fries? No, dude. I'm perched. I'm parched. I'm parched for a Coke. Let me get it. 1440.
Now I know my father-in-law never gets ice.
Somebody says, I work on ice machines for a living, and you wouldn't believe how nasty they get if they aren't cleaned regularly.
How many times do you think the ice machine in this joint's been cleaned?
Oh, dude.
Ever?
Oh.
I mean, can we get Spectre out there, like, to do something during the day? Get a brush over there and scrub the ice machine, Stephen? Yeah. Max done. He can't even stop laughing.
So good.
You guys have a Richard of the Week?
Yes, yeah. I do. I'll go first. I'm giving mine to Damon Williams Jr., because of the stunts that he's pulled this week. We saw an agent fire a college player this week, right? The agent for Damon Williams Jr. fired him because this guy signed a letter of intent with Washington for like $4 million, and the next day signed a different one with Wisconsin for like $5 million. Like, wait a second,
what the hell's going on here?
You already agreed to this, man. So his agent quit. Damon Williams Jr. is the guy who's going to ruin the system for everybody, right? This is going to be the guy that ruins the system of college football that we have right now that I like. So stop signing with Team A and turn around and sign it with Team B the next day, you jackass. I mean, you have to be such a moron as a college athlete to have your agent fire you.
Signing here. I'm signing here. Now I'm signing here.
48 hours. I'm going to go to another school. Well, you just signed.
Can't do that.
So Damon Williams Jr., he gonna mess this whole thing up for everybody.
Jeez.
I got him as my Richard of the Week. Mac.
Okay.
Mac.
Mac. I'll do Dan Hurley. Golly, facing possible season-long suspension for what Rob Reinhart calls abuse of officials.
Rob Reiner?
No, he's dead.
Oh.
Rob Reiner.
His game last night against Providence. Mm-hmm. He called the officials two really, really bad words that we have long since moved on from for obvious reasons because of... Because they're mean. Because they're mean. Because they're not. Because they're actually directly mean towards groups of people that we don't want to be mean towards ever.
Right.
So that's why we don't do that anymore. So
you shouldn't be mean towards anybody.
Anyone. Yeah. Anyone.
But this guy.
Yeah, Bob.
This guy's a Richard.
Yeah, that was terrible. I mean,
that's bad, man.
I was sitting on the recliner yesterday.
You and I for Richards based on what we've done over the last half hour to some friends of ours.
Yeah, it was fun. You got my screenshot, didn't you?
Oh, my God. When we're done, I'm going to read you what's been going on.
Yeah, so I don't know.
There's phone calls happening now, Dusty.
What is going on?
The rails have been gone since Sean Smith came on the show. See, look, I told you the topic right now on First Take is how disappointing would it be if Indiana doesn't win the college football playoff?
Let me ask you this question. Disappointing for who?
Indiana.
For their fans, for their coach, for the players. I think it's probably when you rank levels of disappointment, players probably one, coach probably two, fans probably a little bit further down going, this is fun.
So let me ask you a question. How disappointed were you when the Chiefs lost in the AFC Championship game to Tom Brady in overtime?
I wasn't really that disappointed because I didn't expect them to win that game because my expectations were still from the old Chiefs, right?
Did it not change during the game, like when you saw the overtime?
No, because I just knew.
You just knew? Yeah.
I look, man, I'm a conspiracy guy.
No,
you know
I get
that.
It.
And did we not see the biggest conspiracy with the touch and all that kind of hitting the head? And
chode.
You know, it's just like you just knew it was going to be coming, right? You were waiting for it. That's at least where my mindset
I get it.
Was.
I was very naive.
I was pissed because we were upset. So early to celebrate when we were going,
we're going to the Super Bowl. They're going to the Super Bowl. Personal foul,
right.
95, defense.
I've just seen too many of these
of the helmet.
Tuck rule, all this stuff. Tom Brady, one more year.
Yeah.
They love the storyline in the NFL, folks.
Because tonight's game's going to be fun. Last night's game was amazing.
It's great.
It took a little bit to get going, you know, only 17-13 and a half, then 17-16, and then all of a sudden the fourth quarter happened, and you're going, oh, my gosh,
yeah.
man. Like, what
but
are
that's
we doing?
Like every game now.
Yeah. Well, I
– And, you know, I think that when you, you know, you have that sort of thing, it's
– Oh,
That's what I think tonight's game is. I think Indiana wins. I think that they cover okay. – I think they cover the spread. I think they're just so disciplined and so much older and wiser – than maybe Oregon. Oregon is without one of their running backs tonight, who is a significant piece of their offense. So I think that's kind of interesting as well. But, I mean, look, if Kurt Cignetti wins this game and gets the national championship and he goes up against Miami, and then it's Cristobal versus Cignetti, and Cignetti can win that game, like, you're looking at the new face of college football coaching.
mm-hmm. Who?
Cignetti.
Cignetti.
100%.
Yep.
Because Cristobal could be, too. I mean, if both of them are playing in the national championship game, both of them have to be considered the faces of college football going into next year, right?
Because look what Ryan Day did last year, right? He won the national championship.
Yeah.
He still had to prove that he could beat Michigan, and I think there's probably still some questions about Ryan Day and Ohio State.
I'm sure if you go on their message board.
Oh, geez. I'm sure
yeah,
of that.
Yeah.
But if Cignetti wins this game tonight and then wins a national championship, statue, field name?
Oh,
dorm rooms, whatever, yeah, whatever you want to name it, is in Indiana.
A plaque of Google me.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's just, it's one of those things where it's, you know, he definitely won't
Am
be.
Am I a loser? Yeah, maybe.
What?
Am I a loser? Yeah, maybe.
Nah, I agree.
Because I think Dan Lanning doesn't have the pressure Cignetti has tonight just because of where both programs have been, what Oregon has always been. I know you could say, well, then shouldn't that add more pressure if they can't finally win one? They'll be back. Indiana fans are going, I don't know if
I don't
back.
Know if we'll be back. It's like the Royals in 14 when they lost. I was devastated over that.
And for me, it was why it was the Chiefs when they lost to Tom Brady. I'm like, I don't know if I'll ever see the Chiefs go to the AFC Championship game. I'd never seen it. I was like six when they played Buffalo, and I didn't really comprehend what was going on. And then I see that game, and they were this close. And I was like, I don't know if they'll be back.
Six more.
Boy, yeah. Boy, was that wrong.
But you could also feel it at that time coming. Like, I think we got something special here, right?
That's right. Go do something special. Go do something nice for somebody. You never know. It could change their day, their week, their month, their year. It's simply cool to care. Kansas City, stay kind, stay safe, enjoy the weekend, have fun. Coming up next, it's Cody, Golden, Drew from 10 to 2. And we will talk to you on Monday. Enjoy the weekend. Cheers.
Yeah, but football never dissipates, Bob.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.